Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you, and I appreciate you being with me today. Today's perspective comes from the land down under, the land of sunshine and sharks, Australia. It is from Katrina Robertson. She is a sonographer in Australia. She also has a number of other roles, which I hope that she will explain to us as we go on. And she is a member of the millennial generation, Generation Y. Katrina, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Rob. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. So let's jump right in. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your roles in healthcare, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, I'm a sonographer. I originally trained as a radiographer and then went into further training for sonography. Since then, I've opened up my own ultrasound practice. So I'm a business owner and I've expanded the business into a few different avenues. So we have an ultrasound hire service so that medical professionals can hire their own equipment. Rather in Australia that we tended to, before I started that side of the business, we could only really buy ultrasound equipment. There was no hire options. So that's given our medical professionals in the community an option to try before they buy and, offset some of those costs in their startups. I also offer business coaching to medical professionals that want to start their own business. When I started my business, so KLR Medical, I found that there was lots of information around starting a business, but not a lot for actually medical businesses. So there wasn't much that went into all the logistics of all the legal side of things and the Medicare in Australia side of things and all of that sort of stuff. There was lots about, you know, this is how you brand and this is how you build a website, but not so much the medical side. So we've got coaching for medical professionals for their own business. And I also design online courses for a range of different things. So for medical professionals that want to upskill in ultrasound particularly, and also a course for those that are new to medical imaging that want to get their foot in the door basically. So great for businesses that want to hire someone for their administration side of things or reception, but they don't have any medical experience. So we teach them medical terminology and anatomy, pathology, how to interpret a referral, all those sorts of things. Also great for someone that's interested in being a radiographer or a sonographer, but doesn't have a lot of information about the arena. And rather than going to university only to get through a year or two and go, oh, this isn't for me, then they can do that course first. Or they can do the course and go, oh, this is for me. I'll put in that effort and go to university and study it. So so a range of different things that we do.
Sure. Just for us lay people, what would you say is the difference between radiology and sonography?
Please. Yeah, absolutely. So a radiography is all of the the radiation side of things mostly. So it will be X-ray, CT, mammography, dental X-rays, and then they can then upskill into MRI as well. Nuclear medicine tends to be its own sort of area. And then sonography is ultrasound. So in Australia, you have to have a bachelor's degree in a medical field before you can do ultrasound. So for most of us, we'll do radiography first. So we'll do X-ray CT and then move into ultrasound. So it's a further 2-year postgraduate degree with distance ed university at the same time while you're working in ultrasound. So it's like a traineeship in Australia.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. What does quality healthcare mean to you?
Yeah. So a range of things, really. Affordability is definitely a big one that we've absolutely got it far better than what it is in America, that we've got Medicare in Australia. So for us, if you're an Australian citizen, then you've got access to either free or discounted healthcare, basically. So if you go to a hospital and you've got Medicare, then most of the services there will be free of charge. The downside to that, though, is because we've got sort of great access to healthcare, there can be a wait. So that sort of comes into the next bit. So although we've got the affordability for a lot of things, the actual access can be quite different. So I was listening to one of your podcast episodes a little while ago, and you had a guy from Canada on, and he was talking similar, that they've got access to their sort of own version of Medicare over there. And he was talking about the wait times for their hospitals and those sorts of things. And he was talking about the fact that to go to emergency and get an X-ray and see the doctor, it was sort of a 3-hour wait. In Australia, that's sort of the best of the best, that if you can get through the door in that sort of time frame, it's brilliant. Where I live at the moment, the hospitals around us for ultrasounds have some of them have a 6-week wait for an ultrasound. Wow. So it's huge. And some of the private practices around us are the same, that for certain ultrasounds, it's a couple of months before you can actually get in for an ultrasound. So that accessibility is definitely a big thing, that although the service might be there, when you can actually get in for the ultrasound or the imaging or to see the doctor is a big thing. Sure. The other side with affordability is that not everything is as easily accessible and as affordable as other things. So although a lot of our hospitals will be bulk billed, private practices won't necessarily be. So although you might be able to get in sooner, the price tag that comes with it can be quite costly. Our Medicare system in Australia for medical imaging, until a couple of years ago, hadn't increased in about 20 years. So although all of our, living costs and rents and pay and all those sorts of things had all increased, the rebate that the government actually gave for an X-ray hadn't increased at all. So it meant that the patient was getting more and more out of pocket for these private practices, which was making it less and less affordable for a lot of people, which was then putting the stress back onto the hospital system. So that definitely plays a big part too. Another area of good healthcare is giving the patient what they need, not necessarily what they actually think they need. What the patient thinks they might need might be the X-ray, but what they actually might need might be to explain to them what's going on, that it's not necessarily a good thing to give them the extra radiation just because they think they need it if it's not actually the right treatment for them. So yeah, good healthcare and quality healthcare is to provide the treatment and the healthcare that they actually need to get them to where they want to be, not necessarily what they think they need.
Sure. And I guess the underlying thing that I'm hearing you say in that last piece is that there needs to be education for the patient so that they understand why it is that they're getting this and why it is that they don't need that. Because in there, the patient is learning, okay, this is what I want, and maybe that's not what's best, but they've got more information that allows them to understand what's going on. So, okay, can you give me an example of quality healthcare?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's, I think a lot of places do it, do individual parts really well. So like I was saying about, like our Medicare system, that we've got great access in the hospitals to affordable healthcare, but then we can let it down on the accessibility when it takes a long time to get to it. So it's kind of getting all of those pieces all into the same go. That's definitely the difficult part of things, that getting it all lined up in one go is definitely difficult. A lot of places do them well individually, but trying to get everything together is the hard bit, I think.
Got it. Okay. What do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare?
Yeah. So, there's lots that goes with that. So, one of the big things for ultrasound is the assumption that we're just the tech, that that it all goes through to the doctor and the doctor does the report. So the person doing the scan doesn't actually know what they're looking at. And in ultrasound, that really can't be further from the truth. So unlike the other modalities, so in X-ray and CT, although we need to know all of our anatomy and our pathology and all of that background in order to take the images, as long as the anatomy is on the imaging, as long as everything that we need to see is there, then the radiologist is the one that will read through it. So although we might glance at it and make sure everything is there and we'll be able to see any major fractures or anything like that, we're generally so hard pushed to get through a lot of patients that we don't have time to sit there and have a really good look through the imaging. So for those ones, it is the doctor, it's the radiologist that's going to be going over those images, and they'll be the ones that are doing the report. But in ultrasound, because it's real time, because we're scanning and looking at everything as we go, if we don't see the pathology, then the doctor doesn't see it. It's relying on us knowing what we're actually looking at and imaging it and investigating it to actually be able to tell the doctor what we saw. So with ultrasound, we'll write up a sonographer's report, and then that will go through to the radiologist, and they'll use that report along with our images to write their final report. So we need to have all of that information, all that previous information about the patient, to really know what we're looking for while we're scanning. So it still goes through the radiologist. It's still their name on the report at the end. It's still their medical license that it all goes through. But yeah, if we don't see it, they don't see it. I saw an Instagram video early today, actually, and they it was about an ultrasound that had been recorded without the sonographer's knowledge, and it was a pregnancy one, and she was asking them all the questions about previous history and have you had any miscarriages and all those sorts of things that we need to know in order to know whether it's a normal pregnancy, whether there's anything underlying that might have caused previous miscarriages, or have they had an ectopic pregnancy before, all those sorts of things. And one of the comments on it was, why is she even asking these questions? Is it any of her business? She's just the tech. So to that they were asking the questions they needed to ask in order to have the full history so that they could give the patient the best treatment. But it's that, once again, that patient education around knowing exactly what the role of the sonographer is, that it's not just down to the radiologist when it comes to ultrasound. It's a whole sort of team thing, that it's the sonographer together with the radiologist that's going to be able to give the patient the best imaging and the best treatment. So that's a big thing with ultrasound. On the flip side to that is the fact that because we're still under the radiologist, we can't give out results. So although we're looking at everything and we need to know what we're talking about, it's still the radiologist that gets to make the final call. So you get those two sides of the coin with that one, really, that you get the patients that, think that you're just the tech and that you're not going to know what you're talking about. And then the other ones that think that, oh, well, no, I know you know what you're talking about, so tell me what's going on.
Right.
So for those ones, although we need to know, a lot of things that we might just be able to say, there's something wrong here that, you know, we've seen a mass. And we describe the mass to the radiologist, and the radiologist gets to be the one to figure out what it actually is. So that's why we can't give, you know, results out, because it's still down to the radiologist to decide what's going on. So they're the big things as far as misconceptions around ultrasound and medical imaging.
Got it. So it's kind of a fine line that you have to walk between, you know, being viewed as just a tech and being viewed as the holder of all information and knowledge, so that the radiologist is relying on your expertise to know what you're taking pictures of and, you know, where you need to take those in order to properly make the assessment. But at the end of the day, they're also the ones who, when they look at the pictures, are having to make a determination of what's being seen there. And it's their name that's on the line at the end of the day. So there you go. Okay. What excites you about the future of healthcare?
I'm excited about the technology side of things. So every year we see more and more technological advances as far as medicine itself goes, and particularly in the field of medical imaging. So I don't think AI will ever really take over the role of both the radiologist, the sonographer, or the radiographer, but it's definitely going to improve working conditions, improve patient outcomes, patient care, all of those sorts of things. So as far as AI goes for computer systems, it will make, or it's already making, bookings easier for patients and better scheduling for sonographers and radiographers. So it's, you know, simply be something like not booking certain patients back to back, because that will put too much strain on the sonographer. So in medical imaging, in medicine, sonographers have one of the highest rates of injury, that just because of the way that we're scanning and the pressure that's put on the body, a lot of sonographers will have wrist issues at elbow, shoulder, back. There's lots of different things that go on. You'll be hard pressed to find anyone that either isn't scanning in pain or that hasn't had to retire because they've had an injury. So if we can use technology to help to cut down on those injuries, then that will definitely be a good thing. So just from technology being able to schedule patients in a better way for sonographer scanning conditions, technological advances with equipment are definitely a big one. So the better the machines get, the easier it can be to see different things, so we don't have to push as hard and hurt our shoulders, or the scan can be quicker because it's capturing that information quicker. We've currently got technology that will let you scan the ovaries in one sweep, and it counts all the eggs on the ovaries, all the follicles on the ovaries in one go, rather than the sonographer having to do it manually and, you know, do image by image and count every single one. So all of that saves a lot of time and therefore a lot of scanning and a lot of stress on the body.
Got it. It sounds to me, here's your random analogy, and that is in sports, at least here in the United States, the sport with the most injuries is cheerleading, and which was always surprising to me, but it's, you know, they're doing the most flipping and bending and all of those kind of things. So you guys are the cheerleaders of the medical industry, just in terms of the stress that's being put on the body and the injuries that result from that. Last question for you. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
Oh, okay. So, So as far as medical imaging itself goes, something that in Australia, our GPs, so our general practitioners, in America and Canada, it'll be your primary care physicians, would be to explain what they're sending the patient for. I find it happens very often, and it's not something difficult to do, but I have a lot of patients that will come in, give you their referral, you know, booking for their scan, and then they lay down on the bed and go, so what am I actually here for? What are we doing? Why am I here? The doctor has just sent them for the test, but hasn't actually explained to them why we're doing it. And we can explain the procedure to them, but we don't have the rest of their medical history to actually know why the, you know, necessarily why the doctor's chosen this particular imaging modality in the first place. So just to spend, you know, a couple of minutes saying to the patient, all right, so I want you to have this test done. We're looking for, you know, might have abnormal liver function or something like that. So you've had a blood test, your liver function's not right. Your liver's, you know, not doing quite what it's meant to do. I'm going to send you for an ultrasound so we can have a look at your liver, you know, a minute, and they've got their explanation as to why they're having their ultrasound. So that will improve their patient care and their patient confidence in them, I think, that if the patient understands why the doctor's sending them for a test in the first place, and they know that, you know, not just why they're going for something, but that the doctor's actually, you know, caring about what's going on and caring about them, and that understanding, that empathy, it will build better patient rapport with their doctor. So that's an easy thing to do. Something else I would say that it would definitely come to a time crunch, I think, is why it tends to happen. But examining the patient is probably a big one. So we get lots that you question whether the doctor's actually looked at the patient. That I've had a patient a little while ago that came in for an ultrasound for some varicose veins, so some big ropey veins on their legs. Their referral said they had varicose veins. And when I had a look at them and they showed me their area of varicose veins, they were actually just tiny little spider veins on their legs. So they're very, very different, that spider veins are just tiny little vessels on the top of the skin, whereas varicose veins are veins that have stopped working properly. So they get really, really big. The treatment for both of them are very different. The imaging for both of them are very different. And the presentation, they look very different, and the symptoms are very different. So if the doctor had looked at the patient, they would have known in a second that they didn't actually have varicose veins, and the test they were sending them for wasn't the right test for them. But I wonder whether they didn't actually look at the leg in the first place. They just took the patient's word for it that they had veins that were varicosities. So examining the patient's probably a big one that, but yeah, as all medical professionals know, that we're short on time. So sure. that's definitely a thing that it comes down to good patient care, but I understand that, that's probably where it's coming from, that there's just not enough hours in the day. Patient care is definitely a big one, and examining that patient.
Okay. Listen, Katrina Robertson, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you giving us the perspective from Australia, the perspective of a sonographer. For all my listeners, I will remind you that we are having an issue with Apple Podcasts, in which there are two feeds, and one of them is going to go away at the end of the year. So what I would suggest is go to the website, go to perspectivesonhealthcare.com, make sure that you are subscribed to the proper feed, and that way you won't miss any future episodes. Katrina, thanks again. I appreciate you. I appreciate you sharing your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.